Sometimes we, I know I do, get impatient with people, but God is very long-suffering, very patient. You know, He's not willing that anyone should perish. He gives people lots of opportunity, you know. But guys, let me just say this. Time is running out. Hear me today. Time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can get right with Jesus. Amen. And so don't waste the opportunity that God has given you now to come to Him. Amen. For His mercy, for His grace, for His pardon. Amen. To be restored to fellowship with Him. Because the day is coming, the Bible says, when the door will be closed. And there will be those who will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And it will be too late. Time is running out. That's the title of the message today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You in Jesus' name that You have given us Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead us into all truth, to teach us. Lead us in, Lord, Your ways today. Show me the way, Lord. Give me ears to hear Your voice and grant me utterance to speak today, Lord, that I may speak the very oracles of God, the truth in love. And, Lord, that every one of us here, including me, will be mutually edified. Lord, we'll be prepared for You. Hallelujah. For I know, Lord, there is coming a day when You shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom You have ordained. And You have given us assurance of this, and that You have raised him from the dead. We know, Lord, You have been given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those under the earth. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. God, my prayer is that You draw every one of us closer to You. This coming year, Lord, that we will walk with You, that we'll fully commit ourselves, Lord, to You, to be available for You to use us, Lord. As we know, time is coming to a close for the opportunity, Lord, for those who are lost to come upon board the ark. And we know that ark is Christ Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. We thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your presence. Lord, direct us in everything we do and say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a judgment. Every one of us here has an appointment with God. You will, I will, stand before the King of Glory someday. Today, God gives us the opportunity to be prepared for that moment, for that time. And so if we are in right standing with God, if we are living as Jesus did in this world, the Bible says we will have confidence in the day of judgment. We should not be afraid of that day. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you are living for Jesus, you look forward to the day when you get to see Him. How many know that fear has torment? Amen. But in God's perfect love, amen, there is no fear. So when your heart is flooded and filled with the love of God because you are in right standing with God, you do not fear death. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many know that the fear of man will bring a snare? It's a trap. The fear of man will cause us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. The fear of man will cause us to do things that are contrary to our own convictions. And so we need God's grace in order to overcome our own insecurities and our insufficiencies so that we'll have a supernatural confidence, amen, to trust God and to fear God and not man. Because God is looking for a people who will be loyal to Him, to not submit or bow down, amen, to the spirit of this age, the spirit of Antichrist, but will be loyal to Him throughout it all, amen, throughout our journey. It's by the grace of God that we overcome. It's not in us to overcome. It's Christ that gives us the ability to overcome this world. So there's going to be two judgments. Did you know that? There's going to be two resurrections. And I want to get into a little theology today with you, okay? Is that good? The Word of God. We need the Word of God, amen? John chapter 5, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in Himself, Jesus speaking, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So Jesus said that every single person that has ever lived, or ever will live, falls into one of these two categories. You're going to be part of the resurrection of the just or the unjust, of the saved or the condemned. There is no purgatory. There is no middle ground. Either you're in Christ or you're not. Either you're right with God or you're not. It's heaven or hell, and the choice is yours. Jesus has already made provision for us and meant to be made right with God through his sacrifice, through his shed blood. Amen. But he requires all men everywhere now to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and he has given us assurance of this, and that he has what? Raised him from the dead. We serve the living God. Amen. And God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him the name above every name. He is the Savior, but he is also the judge. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today we have opportunity to come to the Lord, to repent and to be born again. Amen. And to be made right in him. Jesus taught the first resurrection is going to be to reward those who have faithfully walked with him and served him. So there's two resurrections, the resurrection of the just. Jesus speaks of here in Luke 14:12. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. In other words, serve the Lord, amen, as you serve people. And you will be blessed. Why? Because you cannot they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid when? At the resurrection of the just. So there's going to be an award ceremony. There's going to be a bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, amen? For those who have done well, they will be rewarded. And we will be judged according to our works. When Paul was brought before the Roman governor Felix in Caesarea, he testified in Acts 24:15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There it is. This being so, Paul said, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. Question, was this an admission that Paul himself could be disqualified from the first resurrection? The first resurrection is going to be the resurrection of the redeemed, the just. Amen? And this will be, again, the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat. When Paul addressed the Corinthian church in his letter in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, for we must all... That would mean me. That would mean all of us here. Amen. What? Appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The second resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. In Revelation 20, verse 11, we read, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. So according to the scripture, all the dead will be gathered from all the regions where they were scattered, on the land and the ocean, and even in the invisible realms. And they're going to face judgment. There is coming a judgment day. You and I have an appointment with God. No one will escape this. Death and hell here, if you notice, are personified and are represented as having dominion over the dead. But it says death and Hades will also be cast into the lake of fire. When you read the word in our English, it's hell, but there are different words that explain what part of hell or what type of hell it is. And so Hades is this part, place of departed souls. And many believe it's in the bosom of the earth. And we'll get into that a little further on here. In Revelation 20:14, it says, death and Hades were what? Cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So God does not want anyone to perish, amen, in hell. That's why Jesus came. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord does not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God will not allow Satan and all who follow him to spoil the new heavens and the new earth, amen, which are to come. So all who serve Satan will join him in the lake of fire. That's why people must repent of sin. Unless a person repent, they shall perish. Amen. That's what Jesus said. The Bible says that those who serve sin are really serving Satan. So people naturally serve Satan. All of us have served Satan because we were born with a corrupt nature that was sold into slavery to Satan, amen, to sin. And therefore, we were powerless in ourselves to be able to overcome this world. And that's why Jesus came, amen, to break the power of sin in our lives, amen, that we may be liberated from the power of Satan, the power of sin, and be brought into sonship, to be brought into the family of God through the new birth. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again, amen. It's the only way to heaven. He didn't say, I came to make you better. I came to improve you. He said, no, I came to transform you into a new creation. Amen. And that's why a person must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. In Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, this is an instruction to the redeemed. This is an instruction to those who are in Christ. Amen. This is not an instruction for everybody. This is speaking to the church. Not people that go to church, but people who are born again. Amen. And are part of his church. Hallelujah. So those who are saved are those who possess saving faith. Those who are truly born again will overcome the world. The Bible says so. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our confidence, our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not our confidence in our ability to live holy, but in our confidence in God's ability, amen, to give us the grace to live holy. For we live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. And we don't put any faith or confidence in ourselves any longer. Under the law, we were bound because we tried to live a good life independent of God. Amen. But in the new birth, you receive the Spirit of the Lord that cries out, Abba, Father. You become connected to your Father in heaven. Amen. And now you can overcome this world because the overcomer is in you. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the overcomers are those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Revelation 21:6. This, he also said, it is finished. The Lord speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. Are anybody thirsty in here this morning? Anybody had a good drink this morning? Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. How do we overcome? By our faith. Amen. By our faith. Amen. By the word of, right? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. But, verse 8, the cowardly first on the list. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, those who practice witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many know that God has not given his people a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? Amen. So God gives us the ability, amen, to stand strong in the face of opposition. But the cowardly, those who turn away from the Lord, those who submit to the fear of man and reject the Lord, amen, they will be confined also to the lake of fire. Jesus taught us that the wicked dead are actually conscious and they're aware of their state and also aware of what they have missed out on. And we see that in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now remember, here's a beggar laying at the doorstep of the rich man, and the rich man completely, you know, dismissed him, would not help him, would not give him anything. Amen. He allowed that man just to die on his doorstep. Amen. He showed no mercy to this man. And as a result, he received no mercy from God. How many know that blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy? Because God's heart is merciful, we should also do likewise. Amen. And so being in torments, the rich man, verse 23, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom was, the Jews highly esteemed Abraham, and they believed that the good place is where Abraham was. And so they would say that a person, when they died and they were righteous, they would go to Abraham's bosom. And you get the picture of someone laying on the bosom of Abraham. Okay, kind of resting in a place, in a good place. And so, amen, the poor beggar ends up in the good place, in Abraham's bosom, which is a type of paradise. And some believe, and I believe the Bible explains it as being actually placed in the earth prior to the time of Jesus' resurrection. And remember, after Jesus' resurrection, many of the saints that were in the graves came up and appeared on the earth. Okay, and the Bible says in Ephesians, he took captivity captive and he ascended on high. Amen. And when he ascended on high, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Amen. He gave gifts unto men. And so here we have the contrast between one. It doesn't say that he really did anything except that he cried out for mercy. He cried out for help. And another opportunity, a man had an opportunity to help him. It did nothing. And as a result, this poor man, this poor beggar, and ended up in a good place. And yet the rich man who denied this poor man that mercy found himself in torments. And then in verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, because he could see him, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. So even in this place, he's expecting Lazarus to wait on him. For I am tormented, what, in this flame? What did Abraham say, verse 25? Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Abraham's bosom speaks of bliss. It speaks of paradise. The word Hades in Greek means Sheol. The Greek word for Old Testament word Sheol is Hades. And the state of departed spirits. In the Old Testament period, it was spoken of as the abode of both saved and unsaved. So they believe they both went there. And you could, as you read this and look at this parable that Jesus is using, this example, that they could see across a great gulf and they could actually see, amen, one another. one being in torment, one being in a type of paradise. And so what's happening here is that this man that had denied the mercy of God, amen, to someone who was in need of it, finds himself in a place where he had full consciousness, and yet he was in flames. He was in torment, in flames. So people that die and go to hell will be conscious. People commit unspeakable things. You know, they commit unspeakable atrocities in the world. And many seem to get away with it. But know this, in Hebrews 4:13, there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. People are not getting away with anything. You don't get away with anything. Understand. That's why you must repent while you have time, because time is running out. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. People who refuse the love of God, refuse the mercy, refuse the grace of God, will end up in hell. And once you are in hell, there is no escape. The rich man could not leave this place. Jesus taught us not to fear man, but to fear God. In Matthew 10:28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you understand? Jesus came to deliver us from this place. He came to save us from this place. Amen. And that's why we should not fear man and bow down to man if man is in opposition to God. That word for hell here is Gehenna, which is a place of everlasting punishment. The great loss, the greatest loss of all, is a loss of one's soul. What can you give in exchange for your soul? That's eternal separation from God, from Christ, and from hope. Think about it, guys. There's a second death. There's something worse than dying, amen, in this flesh. It's called the second death. You don't want to be part of the second resurrection, amen, or the second death. You want to be in the first resurrection. You want to be ready when the time comes to meet the Lord, amen, because you do have an appointment and you will not be able to get away from it. So today is the day to get right with God, so we can have confidence in the day of judgment, that we can have full assurance of faith that Jesus has taken care of my sin problem. That Jesus is no longer holding my past against me. That in those places where those sins have been forgiven, they will no longer be remembered against me. God is merciful, amen. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, what? From all unrighteousness. Why? Because the price for sin has already been paid in full. And yet God calls all men everywhere to repent, so that they can escape this place called hell, which is eternal torment. And my Bible says in Matthew, I think it's 25, that hell was not originally for man, but for the devil and his angels. But those who serve Satan will end up in that same place. That's why we must turn away from ourselves and trust in the Lord only. Spiritual death is a loss that cannot be measured, and it should be avoided at every cost. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Once walked according to the course of this world. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the redeemed. He's speaking to those who have repented. Are you hearing me? They're no longer living in that cesspool, amen? They've come out of darkness and into light. They've come out of sin, amen, into God's righteousness. He says what? According to the prince of the power of the air, who would that be? Is that Satan? the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's God's heart. God's heart is to share his kingdom with us, to have sons and daughters. Once a person is confined to hell, there's no second chance. According to the Bible, amen, which is our standard, our rule of faith and conduct, amen, there is no purgatory. That is a lie. That is a man-made lie. And it came from the pit of hell. When you die, you take your last breath, you're going to go, amen, before judgment. As a matter of fact, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So understand, if you are in Christ, you have been raised up together and seated together with him in the heavenly places. We as a believer are to live from heaven to earth in the new creation. But only those who are truly repentant, amen, will be redeemed, will be forgiven, will be restored, amen, into right standing with God, and will be equipped and ready for heaven. How many know that the Spirit of God in you convicts you of sin? How many know that when you're born again, God takes the tablets that were on stone, amen, and he writes that law on the tablets of your heart? You begin to have this conviction now in your heart. When you know you're getting on a line, you're beginning to stray, you're getting into something you know you shouldn't be into, the Holy Spirit's there to convict you. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because then you can confess that thing and renounce that thing, amen, and be free from that thing. How many know that God will never convict you of sin without giving you the grace to overcome it? Amen. If God's convicting you of an addiction, God's going to give you the grace to be free of that addiction. He's not going to just convict you and leave you miserable in that. But who you believe and what you believe will determine what you can receive. And I believe that I'm free in Jesus' name today. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I love that. You know, the rich man didn't ask to get out of hell. But he pleaded with Abraham to send Lazarus to do what? To warn his five brothers about the reality of hell. In verse 27, Luke 16, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. I remember speaking to a man one time who believed in annihilism, meaning that you just burn up and that's it when you die. And I pointed this out to him. I says, well, what do you think Jesus was talking about here? Well, that was just a parable. Now, why would God use a parable of something that is not true to present truth? And I didn't want to get into an argument. Just kind of leave it at that. Some people are open, they're teachable, they're willing to receive truth. Some people are not. The Bible says, don't cast your pearl before swine. If a person does not want to hear what you have to say, don't waste your time with them. Amen. God prepares us. God prepares people. God brings people, amen, to a place where they're humbled and they're open and they're yielded and they're willing to repent. Amen. But we can't make people repent. Only the Lord can bring a person to repentance. We can tell them the truth. We can warn them, but they must make the decision that they must repent of their sin and turn from it, that they might receive mercy and find grace to help them. Among those consigned to the second death will be those who take the mark of the beast. The cowardly, basically, who bow down and worship Satan. And the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. We've all had a dry run these last couple of years. We've seen so many freedoms disappear and so much pressure to conform to political correctness and to even do things that were contrary to our own convictions. And this is where the rubber meets the road, if you will, where we're going to have to make a decision who we're going to serve, who we're going to stand for. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. I don't have to fear death, amen, because I know where I'm going. How about you? And you need to know that. You need to have that assurance today that if you die today, if you take your last breath today, you don't want to end up in this place called hell. God wants you to be saved. Jesus went to the cross for you that you could be saved. Amen. In Revelation 13 and verse 16, it says, he, speaking of the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell. No one may what? Buy or sell, except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Are we getting close? Well, we start out with a piece of plastic then, and we go to buy gas, amen? And how many know they're trying to get rid of cash? And then there's this other place where you can just kind of scan your card as like a reader there. And how convenient would it be? It was because people lose their credit cards and there's no security in the credit card, that let's make it more permanent. Like in your hand or in your forehead. So all you got to do is go up to the machine now and scan, and you'll have everything, an ID on your person that they will not be able to what? Buy or sell. You won't be able to go to the bank. You won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to buy gas without what? The mark of the beast. This is where things are heading, folks. This is what they're setting us up for. And that's why we need to be praying in this nation. That's why the church needs to rise up in this hour and take this nation back for Jesus. Amen. So we can push back. Amen. We can resist. All right. Because we are a resistance force in this world. Amen. And it's for the sake of the harvest, because God wants people to be saved, and he's not impatient, amen? He's long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. But the day is coming when all people will have to choose between allegiance to Christ or allegiance to Satan. Are you hearing me? There will be no middle ground. I know a lot of people right now, even in the church, live in the middle ground. But it's coming to a time where there won't be any middle ground. You're going to have to make a decision who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, those who receive the mark, the Bible says, will be shut off from the new creation. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. This is eternal. Who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. I believe, guys, it's going to be something that we're going to know what we did. We're going to be given an alternative. Amen. If we're here, if the rapture doesn't happen first and we're here, amen, you're going to have to make a decision. Amen. To refuse the mark of the beast. Amen. Which will be an allegiance to Lucifer. How many know that Luciferians are trying to run the show right now? This verse reminds us that hell consists of eternal and conscious punishment. And again, the Bible never teaches that the wicked will be annihilated, as some would teach. There's no relief day or night. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Remember, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's by his grace we overcome. Whether one wants to believe hell exists or not does not change the fact that hell exists. I don't know about you, but I believe the words of Jesus. There's coming a day when this present dispensation of grace will end. And when that time comes, those who are unjust will still be unjust. Those who are filthy or dirty will still be dirty. No time to change. Time up. But the righteous will continue to live righteously, and the holy will continue to live in holiness. In other words, God has set a line of demarcation. You're going to have to choose. You can't live both. Revelation 22:11, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. What is this speaking about? When Jesus returns for his bride, that's going to be the end of the opportunity. Are you hearing me? And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Time is running out. God is very patient. But those who refuse to repent and turn to Christ during this time of grace are in danger of the second death. Guys, it's my responsibility to teach the full counsel of God. If we want to talk about heaven, we got to talk about hell too. And you've heard it said, but Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Because Jesus doesn't want anybody going there. And there are people who sit in church week after week that are going there, because they are not born again, or they're living in willful rebellion to God. The coming of the lawless one. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The Antichrist is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Everything is being set right now. The stage is being set for this one world dictator to come on the scene. Those who continue to reject the grace of God, even when God has been so gracious, so merciful, and demonstrated his love for us in the cross, when Jesus willingly laid down his life for us, those who reject such a great salvation get what they deserve. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I recently got to watch one of these, the new modern version of Left Behind. And I thought I'd just check it out to see what it was about. And I would probably give it a 6. This is my personal opinion. Maybe 6, maybe 7 out of 10. There was just a lot of things I had some real questions about. But I want to talk a little bit about this whole idea of being left behind and what's going to happen after people, you know, go up in the rapture, and what people are going to do on the earth. I don't know, but the Bible's not talking about all that, is it, too much? The Bible is saying, and Jesus warned us to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you think not. Amen? And he said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming up on the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, there's an escape. For God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have tribulation in the world, yes, but we're not appointed to the wrath of God as his bride. He's coming to receive his bride. Amen. And those who are ready will go into the bride chamber with him, and the door will be shut. And all those who rejected the mercy of God, who refused the love of God, that they might be saved, will be left out. Too late. Too late. Let me talk about this a little bit. I believe people will be saved during the tribulation period, but hear it. This is how I believe. We know for certain that 144,000 Jews will be saved during the time, right? Revelation 7:4. And will be God's messengers in preaching the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. That's clear. But this passage of Scripture seems to indicate that those who will be saved during the Great Tribulation are those who never heard the gospel clearly presented during this present age. Not those who heard and rejected, but those who hadn't had that opportunity They have the gospel clearly presented during this present age, and who never deliberately rejected the Lord. Why do I say that? Verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Those who did not receive the love of the truth, it says God is actually going to send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. It's not talking about those who didn't hear, but those who heard and rejected the love of God. Now hear me today. If you can understand what I'm saying and hear today the message and understand clearly, the message today is that God does not want you to die and go to hell. He wants you to be saved. Amen? He wants to save your soul, but you have to surrender your life to Him. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. Today, we must turn to the Lord. Hebrews 12:25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, that was Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, that is the Lord. Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Today is referring to God's acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. We still have time. We still have an opportunity today. How many people have thought one of these days and they died unexpectedly? Too late. Once you take your last breath, you can't go back and change anything. You're going to be part of two resurrections, one of the just or of the condemned. Amen? And I want to be ready. I want to be ready when the time comes. I want to be able to stand before the Lord with confidence in that day. Hallelujah. I don't want to have to hang my head in shame. Don't allow your heart to be hardened. Sin, hear me, I'm finished in a few minutes here, will harden your heart against God. Sin will harden your heart against God. People think I can sin. I'll just ask God to forgive me. People that don't really know God say those things. People who don't really know God, who don't really know God because they don't fear God, will say such things as I can sin and then ask God to forgive me. But when you really know God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That you're really getting to know God, you'll have the fear of God in you, and you can't live like that. You don't want to do anything to grieve the one that you love so much. There are many people fooling themselves and abusing the grace of God. Sin will harden your heart. Those who refuse to repent will also be denied the mercy of God. Time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. I would ask everyone in here to, would you take a moment to bow your heads? I want to ask you a question today, my friend. Do you really know the Lord? Do you really know God? Is Christ truly in you? Is it well with your soul today? If you were to take your last breath today, do you know where you will go? Are you confident that if you die today, you will go to heaven? Do you have that witness in you that you are a child of God and that your sins are forgiven and that it is well with your soul? If you don't have that confidence, my friend, I would encourage you to come and surrender your life to Jesus today, to be saved today while you still have an opportunity. You see, Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years in that entire world. He cried out for people to repent and to turn to God. and to join him in the building up of the ark to the saving of his family. But only 8 souls were saved in that time. They disregarded the pleadings of the man of God to come to the ark, which represents Christ Jesus. And the day came when the Lord himself sealed the door of that ark. And all they could do is knock and say, open up to us. Too late. My friend, time is running out. Time is running out for you. Today is the day of salvation. Would you give your life to Jesus today? Would you trust the Lord today? Would you be willing to give him your life, the only one who can save you, that you might escape this place called hell and make heaven your home?